And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, what's up, man?
I'm dancing. That music intro, yeah, I'm just straight up dancing. I plan on dancing for the next 60 minutes.
I think that's good. That's the show right there. Yeah, dancing for the next 60 minutes.
Do you think I'll be winded?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
100%. I think that's highly likely.
Speaking of winded, and look, I know that we, every now and then we dabble in fitness talk, but I just wanted, I'm currently doing a program that I get from, there's this podcast I listen to and they're fitness experts and they're trainers and so.
Pump up the, it's hashtag pump up the gym.
It is. You listen to Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch and you just high knees the whole time. But
Roger Rabbit, but they, for hours straight.
I would be really good at that. But they talk about, I've listened to them and they're like, this particular program is high volume. And I'm like, whatever. You know, they're like, we're really cautioning y'all. If you get into this program, once you get to phase three, it is a lot of volume. And I was like, that, whatever. Okay. Sure.
Have they seen a lot of volume? Do they know who they're speaking?
And my gosh, I'm in phase three.
It's a lot of volume.
And afterwards, after this, this morning, I was like, how many more weeks is this particular phase? Because first off, it takes forever.
Yeah.
So it makes the workout much longer. And then it's like, I'm not doing cardio, but I'm like, my heart rate is getting, I'm like, this is so much volume. And so I think about guys that are girls that are, physique, you know, people, you know, they have to do high volume and their whole life is built around working out.
Right.
Or you look back at, like, if you go watch any videos of Ronnie Coleman, one of the best, workout guys ever, and he's always saying, yeah, buddy, more weight, They have to love it because you're hours and hours and hours. And that has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about on the show. It's just to tell you I'm tired.
Yeah. So I had a range of emotions that happened last week. Okay. So we got together with our life group, from church and, at least a portion of our life group. Several of us enjoy playing tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And, let me rephrase that. At least one spouse among the, each couple enjoys playing tennis.
I know your wife enjoys
My wife is a very avid tennis player, a very good tennis player. And
Can I just cut in for 1 second?
Yes.
Just to show you the difference of our backgrounds.
You've never played tennis.
Never. Well, one time because a cute girl asked me to play. And then I was hitting them over the fence because I thought it was, and it was not my wife.
This was before I was married. Like you were like 17.
Yeah, right. I was young. And I was hitting them like baseballs over the fence. And, so that relationship didn't go anywhere. But being from Cornersville,
not a lot of
there is literally zero families that I've ever been, close with that said, hey, let's go play tennis. Literally zero.
Well, yeah, so we play tennis.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's great.
Well,
it's great.
Let me rephrase that. The last time I played tennis was spring break.
Okay.
It's been a hot minute.
Okay, yeah, that's a while. Yeah.
But it's certainly not the last time I've been physically active. I've been in the gym probably three or four times a week.
Yeah, man.
And so kind of have this like range of emotions because I get there. I'm feeling like, hey, I'm as fit as I've been in a good long time.
Yep, of course.
And, now's your time. Yeah. And I realize, oh wait, tennis is a completely different fit.
Yeah, different.
And I'm like feeling, you know, like kind of okay, in terms of that. So that's kind of like middle of the road, but on the way in, I saw an old friend, okay. And they said right there in front of Carrie and I, it's like the 20-year-old Jason. That's what they said.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, man, that's nice. Really kind of them.
Yeah, that is really
so
nice.
Then we go to dinner afterwards. So I'm feeling good. Okay. It's like really high at the beginning.
Yeah.
Then get into tennis.
Yep.
I'm like, So then like closer to feeling my age.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. And then we go to dinner with some friends. Okay. And I have to go and make a quick, I have to run, pick up our middle son from football. So I like leave tennis, go pick him up, run him home. They all go straight to the restaurant. We're just eating outside on the patio here in town. And so like it's casual, but I get there. Okay. I get there and one of our friends, she says to the waitress, okay. She says, now he graduated from Farragut as well. He might know your dad. Okay. Okay. Listen, I ask that late. I look at her immediately and I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't all registering.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Her dad is 60 years old. I am 44 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I then looked at my friend like, how old do you think that I am? What has happened here? So in a range of about two and a half hours, I went from one person saying, hey, it's like 20-year-old Jason, to then in the middle of the tennis field, like, okay, I'm all right here, to then being identified as 15 to 16 years older than I am.
You graduated in 1947.
Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, that's the Lord humbling.
It has been unrelenting. Yeah. I have not let that friend off the hook for that.
Yeah, that is the Lord saying, hey, Jason, check your ego.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, but I will say, because Cornersville was K-12, there's a good chance I did go to school with somebody's dad that is a 60. Because we technically did go to school together.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so there's a lot of people that I might run into in Cornersville where I'm like, hey, you're much older, but we technically went to school together.
I mean, I didn't know how to zip up my pants.
Yeah. And you were graduating.
And you were graduating. But
technically we were in the same school building. Yeah.
That's fair enough.
For sure.
And so how's your week been besides? It's been,
it's been good. I'll tell you, talk about people giving compliments. I care deeply about the yard at the Woodhouse.
As you should.
And, but no one ever says anything. Mm. And that's fine. I'm not looking.
You think they're too distracted by Hamlet?
Maybe, probably. Yeah. And all the other animals.
Like, I didn't even notice that guy's got stripes in his yard.
Yeah.
Because there's a random pig
running
around.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah.
But someone came to the house this weekend and the first thing they said, your yard looks great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Just stop there. You can leave now.
That does feel good.
It gives some sense of somebody appreciates, what I'm doing.
Now, are
what
you
I'm
guys, can I ask a quick, you know, again, non-related question here, but are you mulch people or are you pine straw people?
Here's the interesting thing about
our house. Or is there a possibility you're both? Or are you rock people?
We are a combination of mulch and rock.
Okay.
Okay. So in the front of the house, mulch goes around the flower beds and it's brown mulch, and it goes around the bushes in the front and that wraps around the front of the house. And then when you pull in our driveway, for the longest time on the right side of the driveway was this like grown up trees, weeds. And for the longest time, we weren't completely sure, is this ours? Is this the neighbors?
Yeah.
And so they were not real sure if it was theirs or ours. And so no one did anything with it. And then finally we had a survey done and we're like, well, it's ours. And so we killed all that,
hey, it's ours or, oh, we
no, it was,
well,
this is frustrating.
Yeah.
And so we killed all that, got all that out of there. And then we wanted something that we could just put down once and be done with it. And so we got a bunch of rock, river rock.
Nice.
Put there. And then around the, this is going to sound so yuppie, around the pool.
Around the tennis court.
Yeah. Around the park, the croquet court we have, around the pool we have,
That's very Thurston the Howl.
Yeah.
Thurston,
no, right.
Howl,
right.
Third, or whatever. Yeah.
As we wear our sweaters around our neck and, we have, so the pool already had some river rock. That's why we went with river rock because it was already there. And so we finished around that and then around our garden because we have a garden at the house. We put some rock around that and so the rock is nice because you put it down once and you're done.
Right.
The mulch is an obviously once a year thing that is frustrating every time. And so as much as I don't think the rock would lend itself well to go all the way across the front of the house in those flower beds.
Sure,
I just don't think it, but it would be nice to just put it down once. But I'll say this. I mean, the, the rock doesn't go very far.
Yeah.
And so I can get on my landscape trailer. I went and picked up rock and I asked the guy loading, it's double axle, you know, it can carry some weight. And, I said, how much do you think I can put on here? And he said, we'll see. And that's always fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's when good. That's they're
like,
you want.
When they're like, I'll just go one scoop at a time and yeah. then I'll watch. And I'll see how much it dips down to your tires. Yeah. And then once
how close you are to actually yeah. popping tires or shattering.
Yeah. Your and hitch. So, and yeah. so we, I think I can get four scoops, a Bobcat scoop on that trailer. And you think, oh, four scoops of rock. That's going to, no, really? It really doesn't go that far.
Well, see, we're considering a shift. I know all your listeners are dying to hear
yeah,
this,
they
but
love
we're
this,
considering
though.
A shift. So we were thinking about doing, we do pine straw everywhere.
Yep.
But the front, pine straw makes sense in the back, dog,
sure.
pool, all that other stuff. But the front just visible to the front to, you know, to the neighbors. And I personally like the look of mulch better yeah. than pine straw. So I'm thinking about making the shift.
But pine straw lasts longer.
Mulch right on top of the pine straw.
Yeah, for sure.
Then I yeah. might just go through and mix it up and just go completely.
Why not?
Just blow everybody's mind. Like, is that pine straw kind
of
mixed in with mulch?
Or,
like,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah. Or you know, if we put rock in the front, Hamlet would be very upset because he beds down in that mulch, in the shade, in the mulch, in the summertime especially, like that's where he beds down. So if I put rock there, he would be very angry. And so, you know, we got to take that in consideration.
Wow.
You
wow.
know? So man, all these man. Things.
What has stood out to you this past week when it comes to national news? Anything, I mean, it feels like there's a lot.
Yeah.
But is there anything that's just been continuing to, let's talk about the Middle East for a minute.
Yeah.
Or let's talk about our president's visit to
yeah.
the Middle East.
Yeah, there's a couple things. I mean, I think one thing before he left, the insiders were saying we're letting him get his rest before we travel again. That's concerning. I mean, that's something that I would say about maybe my granddad, not the president of the United States, just throwing that out there. But, so that's a big concern.
I just a fun little nugget you tossed
yeah.
in there.
And, but then I would say there's a few things, you know, if you go back to when the President Biden was running for office, he said, no one's going to be harder on Saudi Arabia than me. No one's going to be gonna be more firm.
Let's fist bump.
And then when he gets there, it's a fist bump. No one is talking about the reporter that they killed. When he said, look, when I get over there, I'll let it be known X, Y, or Z. This is not how we treat press. And, yeah, apparently that's different because now what we're seeing is gas prices are so high and they don't really have an answer for it except for, well, the gas has decreased. Since, you know, in the last 30 days, we've seen a bigger decrease than ever. And I'm like, yeah, because we saw the biggest increase. Like that isn't, you
like,
can't make that argument.
Saying, like gas climbed to $17 a gallon, but today
it dropped
$16.59. You're like, well, wait a minute.
The math doesn't add up. Yeah. And I get it. Like you gotta do the politic thing, but here's what I don't understand. About gas prices, okay? Have you been to the new Buc-ee's in Crossville?
I've been to a Buc-ee's,
okay,
but
so
I've not been to
the
Buc-ee's.
The Buc-ee's in Crossville, but it's not just Buc-ee's. So you could argue, well, Buc-ee's just opened up in Crossville, so they're like putting their gas prices real low to attract customers.
Oh no.
Every gas station in Crossville, it's 370 something. And then I drive back to Knoxville and it's 430 something.
Wait, is this just your effort to go to Buc-ee's?
I mean, I did go to Buc-ee's, and Buc-ee's is
spectacular.
It is. I don't even know how to explain.
If you're looking to get fudge,
everything,
jerky,
everything,
a brisket sandwich, throwing star, wicker chair, and a sweatshirt,
and super nice bathrooms, I mean, it is
Buc-ee's, not sponsored.
No,
but would love.
Oh my gosh.
To
I would
sponsored.
Dress up as that. What was it? A beaver?
Beaver?
Buc-ee's? I don't know. Whatever it is, we would 100% do our show live from there at one of the 1,000 gas pumps
every time
they have. We'll be back. I never say anything at all, but when nothing.
They call me help. They call me Stacey. They call me her.
That's good.
They call me Jane.
That's good.
Don't know what I'm doing, but I like to go.
I don't even, yeah.
It feels, you know what? I appreciate Dave. Dave's always produced our show so well. I'm really appreciative because he knew I'm still dancing.
Yeah, we've been.
He's like, hey, listen, you know, he's getting tired of you know.
One thing I would caution you though, a man of your age dancing that long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe I could do it for my 40th high school reunion.
That's around the corner.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
What is wrong?
Yeah,
what is wrong with her? Why would she say that?
That's terrible. What I was going to ask, to go back to tennis, do you wear like a headband?
No, I wear a hat.
Okay. Okay. Tennis seems to lend itself to a headband. Andre Agassi, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, it's been a while since he played, just to let you know.
Oh, really? I haven't watched clearly in a while. Yeah. Is he old now?
Yeah, he's quite old. Yeah, he's not around.
He was fun.
Yeah, he was. He also had long flowing hair. I do not.
He did have nice.
But now he has the same hair I do.
Yeah, because that long flowing let go. It's correct. Very much like if you ever watch Seinfeld, you know, Elaine at one point dated a swimmer that always shaved his head bald.
Right.
And then when he decided to grow it back out, he was balding and he could not live with himself. What a dumb, but so funny. When I was choosing to be bald, it was different than not having the choice.
Correct.
Yeah. So,
correct.
Not that I watched that filth. I don't watch Seinfeld.
No. So we think about the president in the Middle East. We think that there's maybe what feels like some potentially questionable optics. Maybe that's a good way to put it at best.
Yeah.
In light of, yes, I mean, we've had a reporter that has been murdered.
In
Saudi Arabia. We have what feels like we're just completely being hung out to dry when it comes to gas prices and everything that's coming on or going on with that. And it just feels far too amicable. It feels far too friendly to a certain degree. And so I don't really know the answer to that, but I do think it's continually worth us just keeping on praying. Let's just pray for wisdom, pray for better, pray for leadership, and pray for impact that improves day-to-day life for so many people. Because let's face it, you and I, we get annoyed by gas prices.
Yeah, sure.
And we, you know, we can make jokes about Buc-ee's and things of that sort and you know, going down the road for our gas. But for the person that has to drive a ton or the person that's on a really limited budget, man, that's hurting.
Well, it's not. It's, you know, when you – that's the thing about sometimes – politics, whether it's Republican or Democrat, a lot of the folks in D.C. Are so detached from everyday reality that they can't begin to understand what the normal everyday American is dealing with. I mean, I went to the grocery store the other day and literally bought 6 items.
Really?
And it was $60.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going, how is that possible? Like, I didn't buy that much stuff. But everything is just the inflation is starting to hit really hard, and now they're showing even if you got a raise that inflation is outpacing the
cost
the raise
of living adjustment and so and all that stuff, right?
So it's technically technically it's a raise in what you're getting from your employer, but it doesn't match kind of what everything looks like, and then you factor in like my dad is a farmer, you're factoring in feed and fertilizer and I was already struggling. I was already barely breaking even. And now, because all this has gone up, but the price of milk hasn't increased at the same level. So as a dairy farmer, you're going, I'm still struggling here. It's not working out. And then you factor in that, you have even more troubles of like with equipment and things like that. And so it's just a tough thing, but you know, if you're watching the politics of it all, you can kind of see the writing on the wall. This isn't just us making these assessments. I mean,
right.
You're seeing the vice president, many of her staff are leaving and taking other jobs. And I saw an article this past weekend from not a conservative person, but just from someone kind of observing and going, it's interesting because there are people leaving because there's nowhere to go. And the only place that the vice president will go next could be the president of the United States. I mean,
right.
She could, whether, you know, in this current administration or runs for office in 2024, runs for the presidency. And yet people are still going, yeah, even if she were to run for president, I don't want to be connected at this moment in time. And then there were some people, you know, her speechwriter was just on the team for 4 months. Now, some people would wonder, oh, she had a speechwriter. You couldn't tell. But that's just an observation that some people make.
Some.
But as she, you know, so you're seeing the writing on the wall of kind of things happening, and now you're seeing insider information start trickling out to the media of ways of saying, as best they can, hey, we really need somebody else to run in 2024.
Yeah.
All this is happening, and then you factor into that Ukraine and Russia that's still going on.
Right.
You factor in shootings that happened in our country. You factor in the terrible response we saw in that Texas school shooting that continues to flow out.
Right.
And it seems as if only news we see or hear is bad.
Yeah.
It's very much if you camp out in that news, you're just left almost hopeless.
Right. Like,
what direction are we going?
Yeah, I think that's the thing is that, listen, you know, and you and I have been very, very quick to say, I mean, obviously listeners have been around us much, would know which way we're leaning.
Sure.
When it comes to all things political. But listen, at the end of the day, I want to see America flourish.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, I don't want anyone to be, you know, at war. At the end of the day, I don't want, you know, people to be dealing with mental illness. At
right.
the end of the day, I don't want, I mean, all of this stuff that seems to be plaguing us, now, no one's like pumping their fist. Well, let me rephrase
right.
it. We're certainly not pumping
right.
our fist, you know, thankful that like, oh yeah, everything's going bad. But it certainly does feel like there's far more losses than victories when
yeah.
it comes to kind of the political and social landscape. And so my question for you as a Christ follower is, like, what do we do with that? You know, do we just kind of fall into negativity and cynicism and being skeptical about every potential next thing? Like, what do we do with that as best we possibly can?
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because, and bear with me, this is connected. But the other night I was when the kids go to bed each night, I lay down with each of them in their bed. And so Gavin is always the last stop. He's the oldest. And so typically that's the shortest. I don't stay with him long
right.
because now he's the oldest. And so, but I'm laying down with him and he says, Daddy, I need to talk to you about something. And you know, as a dad, you're like, where
what's about
this could be,
here?
This literally could be, hey, I got a new card trick.
Right.
Or something deep.
I've been
it
thinking,
could be
I've
anything.
Been thinking about eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually it was eternity.
Oh, wow.
And so he says, Daddy, I want to go to heaven, but I do not want to die. Mm. And it scares me to think about dying. And so in that moment I thought, I said, buddy, I've been there. I said, I have even moments of that now as an adult. And so those feelings are normal. But we got to trust God with the things, with the unknown,
mm-hmm.
and that's where faith comes in. And so we had this conversation. Obviously, we said some other things. But I think in these moments of where we feel helpless or hopeless, even in our society, there are some unknowns that, as Christ followers, we trust God with the unknown.
Yep.
And we have to, at times, go. I can't. Every waking hour can't be filled with news
right.
and with the craziness that's going on in the world. What are some things that we can control in our lives and in our circles, and what can we trust God to take over and ease some of that burden, ease some of that? That's what I'm sensing across the board, is this angst and anxiety from folks because they don't know what to do.
Right.
And so where are we channeling that? Maybe we'll talk about that when we come back.
Yep. An absolutely jam. A little harder for me to dance to.
Yeah, but like this is one of the best ever.
Yeah, this is great.
I mean, sit in that. Just think, man. You put the cassette in.
Yeah.
You're in your Miami Vice
in your coat. In your Trans Am.
Yeah, you're riding a back road. Well, or in Miami with the convertible top down. Back road in Cornersville or Miami, one or the other.
Yeah, exactly right.
And you were just, you know, your hair's flowing in the wind, your highlights. And you're saying, take me home.
Man, that's solid.
That is good stuff right
there. I think we may have, like, meshed a couple decades together.
I think we
there.
Did, for sure.
But it's okay.
For sure.
It feels good.
You're talking on your CB radio. Because the cops are coming after
you. You're like,
you.
Okay, so we have mashed, Miami and Cornersville. Yeah. And approximately a 30-year time. But yeah. It's kind of like, hey, listen, I mean, I graduated with sure. You know, the 60-year-olds.
Yeah, but what's the common denominator in all that? Tom Selleck.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly
or right. Burt Reynolds.
Magnum P.I.
And all of them. I mean, yeah, Miami Vice. Yeah, that's good stuff. My dad loved him some Miami Vice, man. He had all the outfits, everything.
You told me that.
Loved him some Miami Vice. My dad has been, he's now like camped out in that. Bolo tie, cowboy hat, yeah. That, like all that. But back in the early 90s, late 80s, that dude had the linen coat, the like looked like he lived in Miami, and but did not.
But was a dairy farmer.
Was a dairy farmer. what a weird thing. Like, where? Oh, you live by the beach? Actually, no, I live by Possum Trot,
yeah.
And I drive a tractor. Daily, but at night, you know, when we go to the local buffet.
But at night, I like to roll out the white sport coat and a pink undershirt.
Oh, he 100% has a white sport coat in his closet right
Man.
Now as I speak. 100%.
Man.
What a great thing.
What do you think is going to be the thing that we... They're like our kids are going to look at and be like... And I'm not talking like...
Sure.
Like major, yeah. You know, I think there's plenty of things that our kids, I hope, will look back and say,
yeah,
man, they missed it. And I don't say that like because I want us to be missing things,
yeah.
But societally, I hope that they can see some things that we've done wrong societally. But when it just comes to straight up you, like a fashion choice, a season of life, you're, you know, things that you were excited about, a hobby, what are they going to look back and be like, man, dad, that, what was he thinking?
I don't know. I do think there's definitely going to be fashion choices that they think, what was he thinking?
Yes. Because we feel that way about our own fashion choices. I look back at like the tuxedos that I wore.
Oh my gosh.
In like the prom. I'm like, they were so baggy.
Yeah. I'm like,
why was it so
baggy? Were you
baggy?
Buying them because you thought you were going to grow into them? But you were just renting them.
Yeah.
But, like, I even remember the shoes that I would wear. I had this mindset as a kid. Anytime we would go shop for shoes, my mom would say, leave room. You know, you're going to grow into them.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, you stop growing.
Right.
But that mindset didn't change. So I remember at one point, I was wearing, like, size 12. And I'm like, these are so big. I'm not going to grow anymore.
I am done. I'm
But yet I couldn't.
I'm 35 years old.
I couldn't get the mindset to go,
just buy
the ones that fit you.
Just buy the 10
and a half. Just buy the ones that fit you. It's okay now because you're not growing anymore. Yeah, it's crazy. I think, I do wonder, though. I saw a post the other day, and it had a dude with a mullet today. And he said, okay, ladies, we brought the mullets back. It's your turn. And then they posted a bunch of pictures of like Kelly Kapowski and all these big hair.
Bangs and stuff.
And they were like, it's your turn. I do think some of these folks that have mullets now are going to regret it.
Yeah.
You know why? Because everyone that's ever had one.
How do you feel about Cameron Smith, who won the
Oh my
Open.
Gosh. That dude does not look like a golfer.
He does not look like a golfer. He's the most amazing country mullet and
For sure.
and mustache. So I'm going to show you something.
And this is, we know, this is like a major radio faux pas. Mm-hmm. Feels appropriate, you know, but.
Because we can't show it on radio.
So you're going to just have to describe
it. Okay, let me see.
Yeah, you're going to have to describe it. I'm about to show you a picture of myself.
Of you.
From adulthood.
Okay.
Okay. And my, someone sent this to Carrie and
I. So how old are you in this picture?
Well, Carrie and I are together. We've been married 20 years. And so this was probably within the first 3 or 4 years of marriage.
Okay.
I'm going to guess. And so, yeah, 15 plus years.
Okay.
And this picture was sent to my wife and I when I was not with her. So Carrie's response was to immediately then show the boys.
Okay.
And they had a number of responses.
Sure.
But I just want you to see this
picture. Yeah, let me see it.
Okay.
You're on the far right.
I'm on the far right.
Is that highlights in your hair?
I don't know. That is the question. I have, how would you describe my hair?
Yeah, it's kind of a shaggy look.
It's like a shaggy,
but it definitely
long
looks
hair.
Like highlights.
And the thing is, I don't ever remember.
Well, you definitely did.
I mean.
The pool doesn't do that.
That's Jason. What I'm curious yeah. about.
You definitely
I'm like,
got
what
highlights.
Was going on then?
Yeah, no, you're.
I mean, but let it be known, I wasn't a college kid then. I was working at a traditional Baptist church.
Well, but you were fashion forward.
I guess.
Do you know how many young pastors in that time?
It, and I'm like, I think there's highlights.
You know
in
how
here.
Many young pastors at that time had highlights?
I guess so.
Look, you're the same
and
age.
And I was a student pastor.
Yeah.
So
oh,
I think
for
that
sure.
must have been the case.
Yeah.
I just don't remember.
You probably wore a puka shell necklace at the same time.
I don't think I ever did.
My brother, you and my brother are the same age, and he 100% had highlights 60. In his hair. 65. right at retirement. And and so yeah, I think it's interesting to think through the decisions
so that's
you make.
Gonna be one.
Yeah,
my kids
for
be like,
sure.
Hey,
they're
Dad,
like, what
you
were you
there?
Doing?
What you doing? I'm gonna look at them and I'm gonna say, I got no clue.
I went to Boot Barn this weekend out Hello. West looking for. I had to get some cowboy boots for summer.
Now is Boot Barn off of Lovell?
No, it's Barn? Or I don't know if there may be multiple in Knoxville. This one's off of like. Wisegarden,
okay.
maybe
okay,
around
yeah.
that area, maybe
we have not.
Somewhere out west,
yeah.
And there was a dude in there. He's probably 22, 23, young guy. It was like somebody picked him up from 1995,
yes,
and set him in 2022.
Yes,
he had on khaki Wranglers
yes.
that my brother used to wear back in the day. He had on not square toed cowboy boots, the pointy toed cowboy boots.
Like it,
nice Western belt buckle.
Or, right.
And a long sleeve button up straight from the 90s, a cowboy hat.
Did it have like pearl buttons?
Yep. And the curliest mullet I've ever seen is hanging down over his collar and a mustache. And I thought,
and
dude.
And how old do you think he was?
He was probably early 20s,
nice.
If that.
Nice.
And I thought, this dude gets it. Like, if I'm going to buy boots from anybody, it's going to be this guy.
You, sir. I have my sale.
And so.
So you now have four additional
yeah,
pairs.
Yeah, so we spent $800,000 on cowboy boots. By the way, cowboy boots are very expensive.
So expensive.
If you're looking to get some,
yeah,
especially
not,
for inflation.
Not,
but as we not. As we think back to how we ended the last segment, and we think about things that are going on, and at times feeling overwhelmed. Even I was talking to my dad the other day about a book that I sent him, and he's like, I read. All the books that I have, I've read multiple times. And he said, that one you sent me, I'm never reading again because it was so hopeless.
Yeah.
And so even in reading fiction, we're like, that's hopeless. Why would I read that again? So there is a time in our society where I think some people legitimately feel hopeless.
Yep.
Whether they're in the church on Sunday or they're secular. I think all of us go through those moments of what is this all about? And I'm feeling so overwhelmed with negativity and what's happening, whether it be how am I going to pay for my mortgage this month? How am I going to pay for rent? How am I going to put food on the table? How are we going to, you know, you're seeing news come out with things that are happening at schools and how
right.
am I going to raise my children
well,
in this
even,
society?
Even things, but tertiary things. I know this sounds even silly, but of course, you know, in the last week we've had all the Elon Musk and Twitter,
yeah,
you know, the last couple of weeks stuff. And you, it's just so easy to kind of even just quickly, like, seek to find some hope in something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, immediately. I mean, obviously, you and I are both free speech advocates.
Sure, 100%.
You know, and certainly we're going to be, you know, mindful at minimum of you know, any voice or anything that's trying to lessen the voice of, you know, the Christian faith or those that traditional family values or anything of that sort. And so you even see, like, Elon Musk's, what we thought was going to be a purchase of Twitter, because it's this massive communication. And you feel like, well, you know, hey, I may or may not be on Twitter, but you think, well, is this going to shift things societally back
to freedom,
back towards freedom? And then boom, it's like, I'm probably out.
Yeah.
You know, now they're in the middle of whatever they're, you know, kind of posturing, you know, right now. But it's just amazing how quickly we can almost become hopeless again if you're not careful, because you're putting your hope in the wrong things.
Yeah, it's a, you know, or we see folks that are refusing to say pregnant women, that you have to say pregnant people, or you know, whatever it may be. There's a constant thread of angst and anxiety, and it's almost as if some of those folks that are dealing with it the most are perpetrating it the most. Like,
right.
They're the ones that are feeding the fire. And I would just say again, the same thing I told my little boy who's 11. Look, there are some things in the unknown that we just trust God is going to take care of that. Because if we try to take care of that on our own, it will be overwhelming. We will be riddled with anxiety. And guess what? It's the same thing when my parents eventually divorced. I remember when my mom told me it was happening. I sat there and thought, I've spent 14 years, literally, worrying and anxious about, are they going to stay together or not? And guess what? They still divorced.
Yep.
And in that moment, it was like God audibly said, see, what are you worried? Like, you spent all this time, and you, instead of trusting in me and holding tight to me, and so we have to, there's going to be some unknown out there that we just have to trust God is going to take care of. And at times we think, we're going to, oh, I got all this under control. Yeah, you don't. You know.
Right.
We'll be back. What is that? Is that Danny Gokley? So, you remember, he was on American Idol. Way back when. There's been a lot of artists go American Idol, lose, and then went the Christian artist route and did really well. Mandisa? Another one? Danny Gokey?
I don't think there's Mel.
Gokey.
Yeah.
He's done well. Like I said, a lot, too. Two of them.
Clearly, he's had incredible fame that you couldn't remember his name.
Well, you know, I guess
close.
I was thinking
you're
Oakley.
Close. Oh, I like that.
And so Gokey, but it's actually Gokey.
Also open to sponsorship.
Yeah, Oakley. Sure. Come on the show. Let's talk. Let's talk shop. Let's talk music. I love music.
I was talking about Oakley.
Oh, or Oakley.
But,
yeah, sure.
But if
Oakley could come too.
If Danny, what did we say?
Gokey
would come in wearing Oakleys.
Oh, come on.
Then we'd have really.
They really should partner. Gokey Oakleys. That would be a great. I mean, we just figured out the marketing for them.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not saying that guy needs to leg over.
You
play?
Did you play
possibly.
Baseball growing up?
I played soccer and basketball.
Okay. So,
mostly soccer.
So Oakleys, obviously, that type of sunglasses were the thing for baseball players.
Yeah.
Now, in Cornersville, we couldn't afford the real thing.
Right.
But the gas station in town had $10 Oakleys. That,
oh.
I mean, they obviously weren't real Oakleys.
Yep.
But they looked exactly the same. And if you broke them, and you would because they were cheap, you just go get another pair for $10.
Did you all have a Goodies?
We didn't have one in Cornersville. There was one in Columbia, Tennessee.
Okay.
Which was like 30 minutes up the road. And so we did go to
a
Goodies.
I was thinking about kind of the...
we did have a Maurice's
kind
in
of
Lewisburg,
thinking about
Tennessee.
Like rather than having Polo...
Yeah.
I could get Knights of the Round Table.
Come on. Yeah.
I could get Ivy Crew. I don't remember what that was a knockoff of. But it's kind of the same deal. It's like, hey, well, it's kind of local, kind of like Oakley's, but not really.
No, my go-to, and I'll say this now, that I'm not back there and trying to be something I'm not. My go-to was Factory Connection.
Hello.
So Factory Connection was in Lewisburg.
Okay.
And Factory Connection carried Abercrombie. that was damaged.
Okay.
So I wore Abercrombie jeans that were damaged.
Because
no, who's going to know? Like they And you could get them for cheap. Or they were discontinued, and so by the time they made it to Cornersville, they weren't really hip anymore. But it worked for us.
Yeah.
And so Factory Connection was my go-to. I would get those damaged Abercrombie pants or American Eagle.
Yeah.
I never bought them from the actual store because I couldn't afford it. And no one knew, you know.
Just to make sure, though.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make sure. Your father's Miami Vice look.
Those were real.
Those better have been real.
My dad spent a lot of money on those things.
Unreal.
Yeah.
I love it.
He used to get a magazine called International Mail, and it was like these European.
You don't have a lot of memories of it, and all of a sudden now you're standing on there and you're like,
I don't know.
Wait,
it was like these European styles and fashions. And
I was like, this.
You know, looking back, I'm like, Daddy, you're a dairy farmer. Where you gonna wear these to East Commerce Baptist Church on Sunday? Like, where are you wearing this
stuff? He could be walking the streets of Milan.
We literally never left the state as a family. We would go to Gatlinburg. You gonna wear that in Gatlinburg? Like, if we're going to Miami, okay. Did we ever leave the state as a family?
Have you ever
zero
been,
times?
Have you ever been to Miami?
No, I haven't.
Has he ever been to Miami?
No, of course not. When's he going to go to Miami?
I don't know. I just thought maybe.
No.
I thought maybe.
Was he? No. That, like, literally, I have never been out of the state of Tennessee with my dad. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. The furthest I've ever been with my dad is Gatlinburg. Ever.
When
has my dad been to the beach? I don't even know the answer to that.
Can we do a show remotely from your father's farm?
100%. Let's do that.
I would be all about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right from the milk barn while they're milking. It might be hard to hear.
I think we should do it.
But I would do it.
I genuinely think we should do it.
Yeah. We could set up shop there. Yeah.
Here's what we need, listeners. If we hear from 10 of you,
yeah.
Just 10.
Or 0.
Just 10.
Yeah.
No, 10 would be seismic.
Yeah.
What's your email?
You know.
Yeah. And mine.
You can find it on the website.
On the website. Yeah. You can find it at Shoreline. So if you know us.
Yeah.
Or even if you don't know us and you're committed to running down our emails and you
want to. We'll even get my dad on the radio.
You want a show from the farm.
Yeah, we'll get my dad on the radio.
We will make a road trip.
100%.
And I will love everyone.
And then I'll edit, you know, I mean, I won't. I'm not worried about what my dad would not use profanity. He doesn't use profanity, but he may or may not say things about current administration or politics that doesn't need to be on air. But we could definitely have a good conversation about books, about farm life, 100% about Miami Vice. My dad's memory is insane, and so he could tell you about every episode. Because guess what, folks? Every morning I talk to him. He tells me about the same episode of the whatever show he watched this past week. And so it'll be good stuff. Let us know.
It's good. It's good for us to leave our listeners with goals.
That's right.
And we have a goal.
Don't you want to hear from Mari Wood?
To get ourselves to Cornersville.
That's right.
With Mari Wood.
It'll be good stuff.
We'll talk to you next week.